You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Everybody relax, okay? Everybody relax. Stay in your seats. I got a question for you. I got an email I won't identify who I got an email from, but it's like about a 15-page email, okay, about my contention that – what is my contention? My contention is that staff sergeants, let's just say NCOs in general, have the same amount of – why is my level lower? I don't understand. Nothing changed. Anywho, good morning to you. So I get this 400-page email about NCOs have been defanged. Because I don't think, like, so the premise of the discussion is things that I hear. Okay? Now remember, I have one son that's a first lieutenant. I have another son who's a captain. Right, we talk about the Marine Corps when we get together, blah, 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 blah. So, it's Friday, by the way. Good morning. Yeah, exactly. I'm already on it today. So, I'm on it for a couple of reasons, too. But anyway, so I get the 400-page email about it. So I haven't read the email yet. I scrolled through it. I was like, holy shit, man. You need to relax. So, let me just take it out of the Marine Corps, and let's go to the public education system. What happens when there's no coercive element in the classroom? What do you see consistently in public education? Yeah, it's crazy. So, do we expect anything different when you take same population, you know, you send them to boot camp, right? The luster of boot camp wears off. Now they're out in an operating unit. You know, the only thing they can do to you is they can give you a 6105. Oh, whoop-de-doo, right? Page 11 entry for those of you who are out of the Marine Corps for a while. It's now a 6105. Because there is no page 11 anymore, okay? Page 11 went with your SRB. Your SRB is now an electronic event. So, anywho, yeah, so you can give them a 6105. But if you begin to play fuck-fuck, you're going to get accused of hazing. Hazing. These little sissies wouldn't know hazing if they saw it. Oh, they'd know, they'd recognize it. But what, they get confused for hazing? Please. So anywho, I'll offer you that thought before I even read the epistle that was written to me. Okay. And again, I hear the Coke song playing, and I know our society has changed, but here's my thought is, there's got to be some tool that NCOs and junior staff NCOs that deal at the platoon level, and that's what I'm talking about at the platoon level, because that's the customer service event. Okay, once you're leading leaders, it all changes. Okay, when you're leading others, okay, and I mean with direct contact at the platoon level, you don't have any tool. You go up and to grab somebody who went back to bed and is in that formation, and you grab him by the shirt, and he has the balls to go in and say, I want him charged with assault. Come on, man. What is that? Yeah, what kind of crazy institution is that? I don't know it. That means the inmates believe that they can run the asylum. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and they were telling me about their kid was pissed. And, oops, their kid was pissed. And their kid was pissed that they didn't get to do something, right? Essentially, their kid was pissed because they got said no to. On Thanksgiving. Slamming bedroom doors, right? Coming out where everybody was, slamming refrigerator door, begging for a confrontation. And my only comment was, I think the bigger problem you have, right? That kid wanted a confrontation, was begging for it. So that means that kid's not afraid of a confrontation with you. That isn't good. So, and so to me, it's indicative of the inmates believing they run the asylum. So anyway, I'd be curious about your thoughts of that. So if tell me what you think of that. I'm just curious. I'm in a data collection, and do they have a tool that they can use? And I'm not talking about going to back to the movie, Mac, you want to go back to Paris Island, what are you going to do, take them into Creek, blah, 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 blah. No. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that we're not mirroring the public schools. Okay, Johnny, we know you're upset. Obviously, we don't want you to act out. Okay, could you please join us at formation now? That is the Marine Corps? Come on, man, that's bullshit. And let me tell you, it'll all go away, and this'll all, well, or not, this'll all get straightened out all of a sudden when the metal density in the air goes up. And now there is no time, or there is no capacity to deal with that shit. So you know what they're gonna get? They're gonna get a fist right in their face. And you know what everybody's gonna say? Oh well, we got bigger fish to fry than you want to charge somebody for assault. Okay. Speaking of assault, we're gonna be in it in less than 20 days. So go away with your shit. Oh, what happened? Well, up just got turned towards the ceiling. We're not playing Fantasyland anymore. So anyway, so have we defanged them? And again, I get this. I'll use Gunner as an example. If I wheel this out to the Gunner, he's going to say, Mac, that's bullshit, blah, 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 blah. Okay? But this I will guarantee you. After you absorb his telling you how it's bullshit for however long he decides to talk about it, you know. And Mike's right. The answer is you get to know them, right? You lead them. You influence them. And then you don't have that problem. I got it. Okay? But there's a certain element that doesn't respond to that. And I will tell you this. If they ever fucked with Mike Musselman, yeah, they would do so at the peril of their own well-being. Now, I don't know what creative way that he would have wasted their time and got into them, right? Because let me just tell you, that guy can get around any rule that you put down. Oh, but it doesn't expressly forbid this, does it? No, it doesn't. Okay, that's all I needed. I'll talk to you later. Hey, wait a minute. No, I got everything I need. I'm out. Late. All right, so... Anywho, I'd be curious about your thoughts on that. So, on that, good morning. We'll play the national anthem. I want to play about 10, 12 minutes of the press conference that we kind of listened to yesterday. And it's not the same piece. The guy I want you to listen to, the whole thing is an hour and 47 minutes. I want you to listen to former United States Ambassador to China. Guy's name is Winston Lord. Exactly. Sounds like an ambassador, doesn't he? Sounds like a State Department guy. But I just want you to listen to what he has to say about the state of United States and Chinese relations. Okay? Very interesting. And these guys are all like Chinophiles. Okay? They love China. I think the majority of them, the men, are married to Chinese women. Okay? So, when I say they love them, they love them. They love the culture. They've been immersed in the culture for years. Blah, 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 blah. So, this is the report that Stanford University's Hoover Institution issued yesterday that the Washington Post wrote an editorial about saying, yeah, that we have to, as a nation, have to begin to take a very, very clear-eyed look at China. The G20 welcoming ceremony is going on. And it's like these world leaders are being introduced onto a stage and welcomed to Buenos Aires. I think it's a photo opportunity more than anything else. But it's like a fight. And now... weighing in at, we don't really talk about that. Never mind the weight. From Germany, Angela Merkel. What do you think her walk-up music is? You know what it is. D. Trump just got introduced. You know they booed his ass. Boo! boo, hell no, we won't go. Hey, that was a Vietnam thing. Yeah, don't worry about it.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love.
And hello, Merkel. Have you said anything about the Russians yoking up three ships and a bunch of sailors? When do you think those sailors will go home? How many years will Russia keep them? Yeah. Anywho, good morning to you. Whitney Houston sings the national anthem. It is Friday. The chef's going to join us. And we'll get this show on the road. So, good Friday morning to you. Have we defanged our foreman? The people that work on the job site, the people that have to deal with the creative ones, have we defanged them to the extent that we are now running the equivalent of public elementary school in the Marine Corps? Is that the model we've chosen to follow? And now, and let me tell you, so waste your time with an essay. I should be able to waste your time with working parties. I should be able to wear your ass out. Do you want to go down that road? Then we'll go down that road. But you don't run this thing. And again, if you tell me, okay, you can't put your hands on them, okay, I won't put my hands on them. But you've got to give me other tools, and you've got to give me some latitude, you know, to lean on the coercive, to lean on the creative ones, to coerce them into the appropriate form of conduct. And again, not everybody's the kind of leader Mike Musselman is. So, good morning to you, Whitney Houston. Hold on, I gotta get my act together. Yeah, Mac, when will that happen? Shut it. Nobody asked you to chime that one in. And here she is. I wonder how they come up with the arrangement for the photo. Right? To the left of the President of Buenos Aires is Prime Minister Abe of Japan, the President of the United States, and then the leader of the free world, Emmanuel Macron, and then Theresa May. I don't see Angela Merkel. Oh, guess who else is in the picture representing Saudi Arabia? on the far right in the second row who nobody is talking to. Yeah. And he just walked off the stage because nobody was talking to him. Interesting photo. Angela Merkel did not attend. Okay. And then to the right of the president of Buenos Aires is President Xi, and then somebody else who I didn't know, I could not identify. And then it was Mr. Evil, Dr. Evil himself, Vlad Putin. And then after that, but then what's interesting is, why is India in the second row? Yeah, I don't know. If I'm the protocol dude, man, India's in the front row. So, I don't know. I'd be curious. Who makes up the seating chart? All right. This is dedicated to 3 to 4 soldiers that were killed in Afghanistan this week and their families. So we'll remember them today. You'll hear taps at the end of the program. And a 21-gun salute. God bless them. May God hold their families in the palm of his hand. And may he hold that hand close to his heart.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
We'll check the weather, and then we're going to do a little China study. All right. Currently, it is cloudy and 40 in Quantico. It is mostly cloudy and 56 at Camp Lejeune. It is cloudy and 67 in Granbury. Sunny 49 and 29 Palms. Clouds and 53 at Pendleton. It's cloudy, dark, and 71 in Okinawa. It's cloudy and 66 degrees and dark in Ramadi in Al Anbar, Iraq. It is clear in 55 in Marja in Afghanistan, Helmand Province type. It is cloudy in 56 in Costa Mesa, California, the home of All Marine Radio. Only two weather warnings today. One is a gale warning that will be rescinded in an hour and 33 minutes. Partly cloudy, 56. Looking for a high today of 66. Low overnight of 51. Saturday, mostly cloudy, 65. Sunday, mostly cloudy and 64. That is a look at your weather. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about... You're going to listen to some thoughts on China. So, don't touch that dial. More Ball Marine Radio coming up on a Friday. Chef going to join us here in a little bit. Chef's going to come to you via Skype today. Yeah, dude. So I said, hey, over Thanksgiving, could you have one of your relatives like download Skype and show you how to work it? Yeah, no problem. So he didn't do that. And then, I don't know, Tuesday, Wednesday, I got a phone call from the Verizon store in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Yeah. Kimbo Slice was at the Verizon store having them lock him on. So very nice people, and the girl helped him out, and so you'll hear him via Skype today. So it should be better audio quality, which we love. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the read board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be amazed of this heartbreak.
So on the monitor, muted in my studio, is Fox News. And I'll change it up on any given day, but have you ever noticed that the guy who does the My Pillow commercials prominently displays a cross outside of his shirt when he talks on camera? Here it comes. Available on iTunes and Google Music, Amazon Music, for those of you who are interested. P. Davis, otherwise known as Peyton Davis. Song called Hurt. She's a Fisher chick. Yeah, where is it like prominently? Interesting, huh? Can you imagine his marketing people? People sell them, yeah, you know what? We love the commercials, very well done. The only thing we'd really ask you about, I mean, is the whole wearing the cross on the exterior of your shirt. I mean, if you notice, nobody does that. His response? I know. And you know, like Christian people, they'll buy that thing just because you do it. Just because, what are we going to do with it? I don't know. I don't need another pillow. I like mine. We'll put it in the guest room. Alright, I wanted to play some audio for you. Okay, now this is a guy named Jack Lord, former ambassador to China from the United States. This is done yesterday. This was a media event put on by the Hoover Institution at Stanford University that released a study called Chinese Influence and American Interest, Promoting Constructive Vigilance. And they're essentially calling China out. Okay, but I want you to listen to what he has to say, all right? His name is Winston Lord, not to be confused with Jack Lord. Jack Lord was the actor who played McGarrett in Hawaii Five-O, right? For those of you who remember, Hawaii Five-O was one of the great crime dramas. And one of the best parts about it was the start of the program. It had a wave, right? It had a wave at the start of it, and the music. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. Now I'm sidetracked, okay? Leslie Nielsen is in Hawaii Five-O. Okay, supposedly this is it. Stand by for the advertising. Yeah! Jack Lord's signature line in the whole thing. Book 'em, Dano. Exactly. Anyway, that was big stuff. That was big stuff back in the 70s. Anyway, so this guy's name is Winston Lord. Okay, get it right. But he's got some very, very interesting things to say about China. So I listened to this, hour and 50 minutes yesterday. And I thought I'd share this with you. So here you go.
Okay, thank you, Orville and Larry. I will try to put this report in the context of overall U.S.-Chinese relations. I want to make clear that much of this I'm speaking personally here. I'm not speaking for the group as a whole. But very briefly, this report, I think, is a microcosm of the current status of U.S.-Chinese relations generally. It's a fairly ominous landscape, and I think it mirrors a fairly ominous crossroads in U.S.-Chinese relations. But so does our response, in which our objective is to promote positive and stable relations with China. But we feel that in order to do that, whether it's in this area or generally, is going to require a somewhat firmer response in order to improve the atmosphere. And I think this group is symbolic of the mood shift in America among many constituencies. We've gathered together, not only here, but of course in other countries, scholars, think tankers, media types, former government officials. But our mood shift of a more pessimistic perspective of the current status of relations is echoed in other constituencies, the Congress, the military, the business community, which has been a major supporter of U.S.-China relations, and, of course, the U.S. administration itself. But at the same time as we feel a firmer posture is needed, we guard against sliding toward hysteria or Cold War or demonization. We need a calibrated response to China's action, not a sledgehammer. And just as across the board in this report we call for a calibrated response, so I think we need that in our overall relationship. We're going to need to manage what is now termed strategic competition, I think fairly accurately, erect guardrails against miscalculation and conflict, and continue to seek areas of cooperation. So the firmness that we recommend in certain areas is a means to an end, not an end in itself. The Chinese respect firmness, and they exploit the lack of it. And that's the spirit of our report. Now, in terms of overall relationship right now, again, I'm speaking personally, but I feel we're on a possible collision course. and it's the most serious juncture since we opened up in the 1970s, which I was privileged to be part of. We've had previous problems with China, but they've usually been around one issue, Taiwan, planes colliding, the Wong Embassy getting bombed, and even Tiananmen Square massacre crisis was at a time when China was much weaker and we had much less intersection between our governments and societies. Now the problem with China, the challenge is systemic. You have in any effect the historical foundations of the rising versus established power, which is always going to create tension and competition. And as we've already dated other elements, I think we can go back roughly to 2008, the financial crisis where China saw the West falling on its face, had a feeling of greater self-confidence in relative terms, and also you had the Olympics, which is sort of a coming-out party for China being a great power. But it's greatly intensified under Xi since 2012, both on the political and domestic fronts. His repression at home and his aggressiveness abroad have greatly exacerbated the already difficult foundations of historical clash of rising versus established power. And this includes, of course, the subject of this report of growing Chinese influence and interference in our, and I hasten to add, other societies. Be sure to read the annexes of what's happening in other countries. And, of course, Mr. Garneau will get into that in his remarks. But we are careful to distinguish between what is legitimate and acceptable and what we do and what other countries do from what is, as we said in shorthand, covert, coercive, or corrupt. And we want to target our responses accordingly. Now, I believe this approach in our report is needed in our foreign policy overall. A calibrated response, not disengagement, not outright hostility, and a need to distinguish between what's acceptable and unacceptable in Chinese policy in a wide range of fields. Let me just tick them off briefly, illustratively, because I think they echo the approach in our report. For example, the international system. China deserves greater seats at the table, given the astonishing growth and power. They have a right to have more say in the international system. That's acceptable. What's unacceptable is if they're trying to undermine rules and norms and international law, the very system that helped China flourish in the first place. For the Asia-Pacific region, clearly room enough for both of us. Clearly China has legitimate security, economic, geographic concerns.
All right. Now listen to what he says here. All right. This is, and again, I always talk about people that try to convince you that up isn't up anymore. Right? We just talked about it relative to discipline. Right, and I talk about it relative to China, but he's Winston Lord is much more accomplished than I am, and this is what he has to say.
That's acceptable. Trying to drive the U.S. out of the region is not acceptable. So, again, the distinctions have to be made. Or the South China, East China Sea, they have legitimate concerns there just by virtue of geography. What is not legitimate is violating international law, unilateral seizures of territory, militarization of islands, which they promised not to do, by the way. Terrorism. Of course it's right to fight terrorism. It's not right to construct concentration camps and ethnic cleansing and conduct crimes against humanity. The cyber area. We all spy. Cyber espionage we may not like, but we shouldn't have a double standard. We can live with that. Cyber theft of commercial secrets is not acceptable. Nor would meddling in our elections. Now, we make a distinction. We don't feel there's proof that China has been trying to influence our elections like Russia has. Although you've seen what's happened in Taiwan. I'm not conversant enough to know whether they actually meddled in the Taiwan elections, but, of course, the DPP says they did, and many others suspect they did. They certainly have the capability.
They did.
The gigantic Belt and Road Initiative, legitimate, promoting infrastructure around the world. It's not acceptable if it's predatory and colonial, and there's already some backlash. North Korea, they have obviously security interests and concerns we should take account of, but we shouldn't tolerate their continual undermining of pressures on North Korea, making our policy ineffective. Taiwan and Hong Kong, yes, sensitivity to sovereignty and other concerns, we can understand, but the squeezing of Taiwan and Hong Kong is less acceptable, and in the case of Hong Kong, just violating international agreement. So those are just examples where I think we have to distinguish where China, by virtue of its role and size and growth, has legitimate interest in pursuing legitimate objectives versus those we have to push back against. So in the last couple of minutes I have, let me just briefly say about the Trump administration's response to this. Again, I'm speaking personally. I feel that, and I think most of my colleagues would also, that in the face of what I've described of what China's been up to, particularly under Xi at home and abroad, that they're correct to label this strategic competition and to push back as an instinct. And there's been some specific sensible steps that I at least would endorse, the stepping up of maritime patrols in the East and South China Seas, even in the Taiwan Straits, the build program promoting development finance, working with Australia, Japan, and India on development projects in the region, the more recent focus, correct one in my view, on forced technology transfers, IPR theft, subsidies to Chinese companies, the advanced technology challenge. So these are some steps that I think I at least feel are positive. But, and this is a huge but, the fundamental approach to China, as in our overall foreign policy of this administration, I feel is way off base and destructive. China policy begins at home, and it begins with your Asia policy. It begins with your allies, and we're screwing up on all three fronts, this administration is. In Asia, withdrawing from the TPP was a disaster. Failing to show up at APEC and East Asian summits is very important and a negative trend in this administration, and leaves the field to Chinese leadership. The hostility to multilateral agreements, like with Iran or climate change, not only abdicates U.S. leadership and leaves the field to China, it's a threat to the security and health of the planet, and it shrinks areas of cooperation with China where we could build a better relationship. Confronting our allies at a time when we need multilateral pressures on China, whether it's security or economic. The love of dictators and the failure to promote democracy and human rights destroys our soft power, and it encourages the ominous global trends in this area where more and more systems are looking like the Chinese system. And above all, China policy, like foreign policy, begins at home. And we must get our act together, both economically and politically. We've got to celebrate our diversity rather than exploiting differences. We should encourage immigration and other forms of diversity. We should respect the rule of law, the media, and independent judiciary. We should invest in our future, whether it's infrastructure or science and technology or education. In short, we should make the U.S. more competitive with China and a better model for the world. Now, in 2 days, Xi and Trump will meet in Argentina. There's a 49% chance there'll be a big deal where another phony victory declared by Trump where a few crumbs are thrown to him. I think there's a 51% chance there'll be a holding action in which the leaders agree to suspend more tariff reduction penalties, but try to lay out the framework for more negotiations. But whatever the outcome is, it's not going to solve, obviously, this systematic problem that I've outlined. And so, in conclusion, I would say that the historical phenomenon of a rising versus established power is greatly exacerbated by having two very dangerous leaders in our capitals. This report only addresses one area of this change in U.S.-Chinese relations, but it's a key one because it involves the very constituencies that have been positive factors in our relationship and buffers against hostility. At such a crossroads with China, we need more dialogue and exchange, not less. But China, as we lay out in this report, is seriously threatening these exchanges and souring the very communities that have supported positive relations. And we need in our response, as I think we have in our report, to strike a balance between complacency and overreaction. We seek in this report to highlight the grave trends of Chinese actions in our societies and others, encourage the adoptions of policies that respond, but in a responsible way that preserves our values and doesn't jeopardize the overall relationship. In so doing, we hope to move China toward a more legitimate conduct in our societies and therefore promoting a more positive relationship over the long term. In brief, we need vigilance, but it should be constructive. And we need these principles as well in our overall policy toward China. Thank you.
There you have it, Winston Lord. So I think what he does is he did a pretty good job in terms of summing up all the different areas in which China exploits the United States. He also takes the Trump administration to task for their lack of engagement. And again, one of the things that if you're an observer of international affairs at all, you have to come to grips with is the fact that, you know, you have to be engaged with the people that are your alliance members and the people that you're cultivating to have influence. And so to disengage from that, right? And I'm not a big fan of the, you know, I don't know, maybe there are some very, very low-level economic agreements that we can make relative to these kind of trans-Pacific partnerships. You know, so we should engage in that, right? I'm more of a fan of bilateral agreements so that you can make sure that you're not being taken advantage of. So if we're going to do a broader agreement, I mean, the threshold has to come down to things that we all agree on. All right, we're not going to do this or do that. All right, yeah, we'll sign up for that. Not, that's not a problem. It's essentially boilerplate. It's economic boilerplate, if you will. Okay? But if we're going to do a deal with Vietnam, and we're going to, and Vietnam is an emerging nation, and so we'll give them a discount to accommodate them, because we want them to be able to, you know, grow industries that are strong, that promote economic stability, that promote rising standard of living, all that. We get all that. We can footnote that. Okay? That should be a bilateral agreement between Vietnam. In my own opinion, it should be a bilateral agreement, with Vietnam, between Vietnam and the United States. So, anyway, I thought he was very good. I would submit to you, if you have some time, you could do you could search on the Hoover Institution, or you can actually, what am I talking about? Go to the podcast page. Okay, I'll walk you through it. Podcast page, click. Okay, now the podcast page comes up. You'll see the show from yesterday. Right. It says Hoover Institute and the Washington Post agree constructive vigilance is needed for China's influence ops in the United States. Click on that. And there's three links. One is to the video. The actual study, which is, I want to say, 200 pages. Maybe I screwed up the links. I did. I screwed the links up. I have them flipped. Anyway, they're both there. I'll unscrew myself here shortly. And then there's the Washington Post editorial, surprisingly enough, which calls for the United States to stand on its hind legs and to take a clear-eyed view of what China is attempting to accomplish in the United States. So anyway, I think it's all very, very quality stuff. And so if you want to be your local Chinese policy expert, go ahead and take a crack at that. Again, very, very stuff that's very, very, very well done, very impressive. So by impressive people who have incredible experience. All right, we'll do a few news headlines, and then we'll try to get the chef on. But let me get to a couple emails first. This one's called Thank You for Your Service Explained. I don't always listen to your program live, and I do attempt to keep up via the podcast. I heard you say something this week when I was catching up, and it struck me hard. You said something to the effect when civilians walk up and say, thank you for your service, you said, we don't want to hear that shit. Paraphrase. Wow. Well, okay, shit. Am I pissing off a lot of people? Definitely not my intent, or did I misunderstand? You know, I've been guilty of that in an effort to let vets and service members know that I, as a civilian, acknowledge their decision, and I do recognize some of the sacrifices they make every day. I am truly thankful, and there are many times when I am at a restaurant and see them eating lunch, I will call the waitress over and ask to pay their bill and pay it anonymously. So as a civilian, what would you suggest that I should consider to do properly express my gratitude to those who I pass on a daily basis? I would truly like to know your answer. A private email is fine. As always, thank you for the education. Love your show. I think I was that as a boilerplate statement, right? And we all know it. You know, it's like, don't even make eye contact. Thank you for your service. Okay. I was comparing and contrasting that to another statement. And the other statement clearly was boilerplate, right? Something that people say. And I said, reminds me of, thank you for your service. Look, it's not a boilerplate. My service isn't a piece of boilerplate, right? Where I got my car washed 2 months ago because I need to get my car washed, that's boilerplate. Okay? My service is not. So if you're going to thank me, you know, make me feel like you mean it. And what do I have to do? Do I have to genuflect? No. Look me in the eye. Shake my hand. Right? Take a second. You know? So to me, I think that's what people mean when they say, you know, I'd rather not hear it. And so, no, I will tell you this. Like a lot of things in life, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. So, depending on how you deliver that to somebody, I think says more than what you say. The fact that you would take the time, you know, you would shake their hand and look them in the eye and say, hey, thank you for serving. And, you know, you don't, the people that do that, you don't forget. But there's also, you know, that whole, thank you for your service. Yeah, you're welcome. Hello, if that makes sense. Okay. So, again, I think my mother told me that. It's not, Michael, it's not always what you say. Sometimes it's how you say it. I would lump that in there. But I was comparing and contrasting that with another boilerplate type statement. And so I hope that makes sense. The VA sends out press releases at the cyclic rate. I mean, it's like they're like a machine gun of press releases. This is the last 24 hours, four of them. VA seeks public comment on program of comprehensive assistance for family caregivers. VA benefits chief, every single veteran will be made whole. Statement by Secretary Robert Wilkie on forever GI Bill housing benefit payments, which they have absolutely handled horribly. VA announces fully capable telecounseling service within its vocational rehabilitation and employment program. Congratulations to them. Yeah, how about the VA saying, yeah, we can't make everybody whole. The payments we missed last year, we can't make them up. What? Statement by Secretary Robert Wilkie on forever GI Bill housing benefit payment. To clear up any confusion, I want to make clear that each and every post 9/11 GI Bill beneficiary will be made 100% whole, retroactively if need be, for their housing benefits for this academic year based on forever GI Bill rates, not on post 9/11 GI Bill rates. Wait a minute, what does that mean? So here's, okay, so listen to this. To clear up any confusion, I want to make clear that each and every post 9/11 GI Bill beneficiary will be made 100% whole. Okay? So if I'm a post 9/11 GI Bill beneficiary, I should be made whole on the GI 9/11 bill rate. Right? Unless the forever GI Bill rate is higher, then I want that. He goes on, so each and every post 9/11 GI Bill beneficiary will be made 100% whole retroactively if need be for the housing benefits for this academic year. For this academic year. Well, what about last? See, this is bullshit. For this academic year. The academic year we're in is, what, 2018, 2019, yes? But some of these claims go back to 2017, 2018. Based on forever GI Bill rates, are those higher or lower? The VA, a little bit frustrating at times. All right, let me just do some quick headlines. Drunk driving among veterans is up nearly 60% since 2014, study finds. I find that hard to believe. Iwakuni Marine Gunny's death is under investigation. China expresses concern over two U.S. Navy warships that had the unmitigated gall to sail through international water in the 200-mile, Gulf of Taiwan? Taiwan Strait. Can you imagine the unmitigated gall of the United States sailing through international waters that China has said, we claim this, it's ours, get out of it? The world according to GARP. All right, top five stories in early bird. One, officials showcase more weapons as they link Iran to terror across the region. It's a cordoned off section of a nondescript hangar at a sliver of military base that overlooks the Potomac River. In it sits a growing mountain of physical evidence of the scale and reach of Iran-supplied weapons used to further proxy wars against the United States and its allies in the Middle East. So that's the number one story. Officials first publicly revealed the room's contents a year ago when U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, showcased what she called concrete evidence that Iran is supplying weapons to Houthi rebels in Yemen's war against Saudi Arabia. Housed at Joint Base Anacostia Bowling, home of the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agencies, the weapons recovered and on loan from Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, UAE, and Afghanistan have been seen by more than 1,000 visitors and representatives of nearly 70 nations, officials say. The centerpiece of the evidence is last year's debris from a short-range missile fired by the Houthis in Yemen at a civilian airport in Saudi Arabia. So that's the top story. So maybe when they open it up, you can go there for a visit. Right now, I don't think you can get in. Number two, Trump going for full-blown Space Force, White House memo reveals. Number three, no more Marine rotations to the Black Sea. The Corps is focusing on here instead. About 8 years of regular rotations by Marines with the Black Sea Rotational Force, or BSRF, are coming to an end as the Corps instead expands its presence in the Arctic high north of Europe. Whoa. Marines going to the Arctic. Good luck, boys. Have your squad automatic stove ready. Number four, Ukraine-Russia sea clash. Trump cancels Putin talks. So, do you think that Putin orchestrated that on purpose just before the G20 in an effort to continually make the President of the United States look small and Western leaders look small? As Angela Merkel doesn't say shit, as the leader of the free world, Francois Macron, he doesn't say shit. As Donald Trump doesn't say shit. Yeah, but I canceled the meeting. Yeah, but you didn't condemn him. You didn't say he's a punk. I don't know. Only fools believe in coincidences, okay? Number five, Congress blasts the VA on the GI Bill. You simply can't change the law. So this is crazy. All right, lawmakers at a Capitol Hill hearing on Thursday questioned whether the Veterans Affairs Department has the authority to change a major deadline for implementing a portion of the Forever GI Bill and seemingly act as if the original one, mandated by law, never existed. The questions from House lawmakers came a day after VA Secretary Robert Wilkie announced the department will hold off implementing changes to housing stipend payments until December 1st, 2019. These changes to how the stipends are calculated were supposed to go into effect August 1 of this year, a deadline the VA wasn't able to meet because of IT challenges. And while VA leaders plan to correct student payments from this fall by paying retroactive cost of living increases come January, VA spokesman Kurt Cashauer confirmed to Military Times that the agency is not planning to go back and pay students for another required change related to students' physical location once the IT systems finally are up and running. But, in an apparent contradiction, the VA posted a statement from Wilkie to its website at 4:16 p.m. Thursday, after the story was originally released, stating that it does plan to make each and every post-9/11 GI Bill beneficiary 100% whole, retroactively, if need be, for their housing benefits for this academic year. What about last year? Should the VA fail to do so, it would be going back on a promise VA officials had previously made to Congress, the agency's own website states. Man, are you confused? Yeah. Well, you're dealing with the VA, so don't feel bad. You've got a lot of company in that boat of confusion. So, all right, we are going to take a break. When we come back, the chef will join us. And we'll sort all this out. So, without any further ado, more of Almond Radio. On a Friday, coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SimperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign